Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Yes, and we have Tracy live on the phone with us. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you, Mackenzie?
I'm doing well, thank you. So we're continuing our election-focused coverage today on the show, and this week we're focusing on the, each party's economic policies. So, I mean, other than giving foreign landowners the boot and keeping super at 65, which we hear a lot about from New Zealand First, what are your big priorities for this year?
Well, it's actually to the biggest priority for us is actually to amend the Reserve Bank Act. The Reserve Bank Act, which was changed back in the 1990s, which only gave the Reserve Bank the opportunity to control the inflation and so on and so forth, we feel that that's too narrow. So a couple of things that we wanted to do, and the Right Honourable Winston Peters actually had the bill pulled from the ballot in the last Parliament, but it was defeated by the National Party and ACT. We want to give the dollar, for example, a cap and a floor so that we can ensure that our exporters can have some sort of surety about how high the dollar will go and how low the dollar will go. So that's probably one of the biggest economic policies we have.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because Winston Peters last month at a conference called on voters to choose between the smokescreen economy, as he called what the Treasury has put out, and the real one. I mean, are the Treasury really lying to us about where things are at the moment, where the dollar is?
I think what he's talking about is what you get from Treasury down in Wellington, which might be all fat, you know, numbers, and numbers can add up to anything. I used to do statistics, right? Numbers can be made to tell you anything. And when people start giving you percentages, you need to be really careful because percentages can hide realities. And what Winston was talking about, go down, like I was travelling around a whole lot of secondary schools in the lower part of the North Island just in the last 2 days last week, go around and actually have a talk to those people about what the real economy feels like to them. So those are the two differences. You can get
but
the
will,
theory
will
of
they
an
have
economy.
The understanding that, you know, our country's top economists and experts have at the Treasury? I mean,
well,
where do you think
sorry,
the state
hang on
of
a minute.
Are?
Just that's a really interesting question. So what you're saying is that if the people are experiencing the fact that, and all the secondary students I spoke to wanted to know about where are the jobs for me, what we end up with is we end up with a government and all these theorists and so on down in Wellington saying there's jobs, there's what, 200,000 more jobs. That's not their reality. That's not their reality on the ground, and that's not because they're any stupider than the people working in Treasury. That's because that's their real life, not the people working numbers. So you can work numbers as much as you want, but when you get down to the ground, to street level, the reality for the people on the ground is nothing like what is supposedly the good news numbers that are coming out of Treasury.
All right. Well, one set of numbers that New Zealand First is talking about is cutting immigration to net 10,000. I mean, you claim this isn't going to have a negative impact on the economy. How is that? Because we're currently at over 70,000, so that's a big drop.
That's right. We got 226,000 work visas that were handed out in 2016, 2017. We're expecting to hand out, what, if we carry on this way, they're expecting to hand out 243,000 work visas next year. At the same time, we've got 139,000 New Zealanders unemployed and 90,000 15 to 24-year-olds not in employment, education or training. So you can't just take the single thing, which is drop migration to 10,000 and then say, oh, no, that's the whole economy's going to fall over. Because if that is true, then we've been lied to by the national government for the last 9 years, because they've said growth is at 3% and it's got nothing to do with migration. Because they have argued again and again and again against the Right Honourable Winston Peters when he said, if you've got migration at 2%, you have to take that off what you've said is their economic growth. And they've said, no, they're not connected. So you can't have it both ways. Right. Now, what we're saying is you drop migration to the highest level of skills that we need, which is the 10,000, for a period of time. Migration is something that a government uses. It turns up and it turns down as it needs to support its nation for growth or to support skill level. What we're saying is we want to turn it down to around about 10,000. We want to pick up this 139,000 New Zealanders who are unemployed, the 90,000 15 to 24-year-olds, all those people who are underemployed as well. Let's remember that 139,000, if you've got an hour or 2 hours employment a week, you're not in those numbers.
Okay, so the unemployed are going to go into these jobs, but I'm curious which exact jobs, migrant jobs, are going to be the ones taking the hits? Because, I mean, you've talked about restricting family reunions and the migration of older migrants, but, you know, that doesn't make up the entirety of the numbers. So, I mean...
Well, actually, the National Party's already restricted family reunification, so that was done away with under the last 9 years. So they minimised that because we had a clash of two policies. We had a clash of the China one-child policy, and then the 50% of your children here, you can come and live. So at least 4 years ago, that was actually, that was shut down to much lower levels. So that was done by National, all right?
Are you, for example, going to cut into the migrant worker schemes of the workers coming into the country?
Well, you'd have to have a look at. Now, this is where I've been having conversations about the possibility to get win-win out of these schemes, and that is we've got some schemes running at the moment with Brazilian and Chilean students who are sponsored by their governments to come here. They spend 3 months in a classroom. They're part of an international student scheme. They spend 3 months in a classroom doing English, health and safety, and so on and so forth, and then currently they do 9 months in, on a farm. The purpose of that is to actually, they're being educated into the ways that New Zealand farms work. They cover across all the areas of the of that particular sector of the farming industry, and then they go home. Now, there's a couple of things there. First of all, we have the capacity to grow that international student market into the hospitality, the horticulture, and the viticulture area. At the same time, as use exactly the same model to actually start picking up some of the 90,000 NEETs and the 139,000 unemployed. So this is not just an and or. This is, I'm actually doing quite a lot of work with the migrant workers section, the international student section, and also the youth, our own youth unemployment area, to come up with some win-win solutions to this.
All right, and just finally, with the economy, I want to touch about your party's plans to buy back parts of privatised electricity companies. Mm. I mean, Richard Prosser, one of your MPs, has gone so far to advise people to get rid of any contact shares they might have. I mean, is this really that, you know, probable, do you think?
So did you not see the press release after that, Mackenzie? So you've obviously seen the one press release where Richard Prosser made a flippant off-the-cuff comment that he should not have made, agreeably. It's far too serious to make flippant and off-the-cuff comments. But surely you saw the press release and the news articles within 10 minutes of that statement that Winston Peters put out saying Mr. Prosser was incorrect in making that statement. New Zealand First has said that we want to bring back under public control all our electricity generation, and we will do so over time as those shares come onto the market.
Right. So what I'm wondering is if there's been any clearer plans since those statements have come out as to how that would be achieved, because that's really what this is contingent on. I mean, some estimates...
Well, that's right, and that's why Winston Peters put out the press release quite clearly saying that that's what New Zealand First policy has been. We will bring those things back under control as those shares come back onto the market. We will bring it back so that the New Zealand public once again owns their electricity generation.
At what cost, though?
Can I ask you this, Mackenzie, though? Okay. Sorry, I'll just ask you this. If we want to switch from having a domestic market that is continually dependent upon, I mean, we've got very good renewable generation at the moment, but if we want to switch to solar power and EV vehicles and people being able to charge at home or use the polymers over our windows so that each home could be a generating unit in its own right, taking pressure off the domestic grid so that we can release that power up for business growth. If you have people who need to make a profit out of not having that happen, it is very difficult for a government to start shifting to the place where we need to be as a nation so that we can meet our carbon zero 2050 target. That's the problem when you start to sell off to private shareholders. They're now invested in stopping people taking themselves off the grid, and that's a problem for the future of New Zealand.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time, Tracy, and I look forward to you coming on the show next week.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Bye.
All right. Cheers. Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.